Beloved congregation, we read in the Word of God in regard to God's people that the days of darkness, that they shall be many. There are days that the Sun of Righteousness is shining for God's people, and that they walk in the light of His face, but still there are so many times that it is different. And that they here in this world for themselves are as a wandering sheep. Many problems, many riddles, many hardships, and many troubles that come up day after day. And of course you read in the book of Job that man is born of trouble. And now you read about Jacob, that when he was placed for Pharaoh, when he was 130 years old, that he confessed there that few and evil were the days of his life. You know that man had in his life a battle, that man had a penial, and then after 10 years that he was there at that place where the sun goes up over him, that the Lord brought back him to battle, that the Lord revealed himself unto him, and that the Lord placed a stamp upon the work of grace that the Lord had performed before in his heart. There are different times in the life of God's people. You see that from Genesis to Revelation, there is really not one day the same. This evening, I will talk to you about a day of surprising. And my text for this evening that is in the Acts of the Apostles, the 19th chapter, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. This far. In the second mission trip of Paul, then he was for a little time in that city, Ephesus. But on the third trip that Paul made with Silas, then he was there much longer, as you have heard already out of that chapter that I have read to you this evening. The way of Paul was also, you can realize that in what you read before, was also different as that he had taught and what he had figured out. Several times then he had in his heart to preach in some city or place, some country, but then the Spirit forbade him. In other words, the Lord, he cut it off. in the 18th chapter than it was Paul's intention to go to Jerusalem and to stay there short or long time. But even that staying in Jerusalem, that was cut off for the apostle. And he had to follow the way that the Lord had appointed for him. We can see in our life that we are not our own boss, but that we have to follow the way of the Lord. And we don't know from day to day, congregation, what there lays in store for us. That is personally for everybody here in this world, that is also for God's children, and that is also for God's servants. And also their life that is full of these appointments. There is no heavier work than the work of a minister of the gospel. It is well a special work, desirable, so it is mentioned by the Lord in 1 Timothy 3. And if you think that the Lord used people to bring them to conversion and to lead the souls in the paths of righteousness, then you must say it is a wonderful work. But there are so many other things in the life. If it lay right in our heart, then we have no higher desire than that the Lord shall be honored and that the Lord shall be glorified. That the Lord, through our preaching, will build his church, and that many are added to that number that the Lord saved. That is biblical. In the multitude of the subjects is the King's glory. Who would not look forward for fruit upon their labors? And then I think, what must it well be in the life of Noah, where that man had to preach 120 years, building in the midst that ark, that they all could realize that there was something coming, but that the people hardened their heart. And now you know, you have heard that your whole life, congregation, that conversion is the work of the Lord, not the work of men. But still, how shall it be different than that people look out for the revealing of the Word of God? But you read in the Bible about that parable of the sower, one part of the seed by the wayside, another amongst the thorns, and other parts stony places, and finally another part in prepared ground. And we have that all to experience in our life. And finally, Christ himself, he was the greatest prophet. He was a perfect minister who had preached the full counsel of the Lord But even that Christ, he came to places that he could do no miracles, even outwardly, on account of their unbelief. And of course, we are not responsible for the fruit. No. That is the Lord himself. But we are responsible for our labors, that we preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and that we place on the foreground Christ Jesus and him crucified as the way, the life, and the truth. Now, in Acts 19, the Lord had surprised the Apostle Paul. He came through the upper coast to Ephesus and find there certain disciples, said the text. In verse 7 you read, and all the men were about 12. There were 12 patriarchs, and there were 12 apostles. And now we find here in that city 12 disciples. And you know the meaning of the word disciple. The real meaning, that is follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, he found there in that city 12 converted men. When he meet that people, then immediately he received such an impression in his heart that the 12 disciples, that they were all blessed one by the Lord. They were chosen by the Lord. They were converted as the fruit of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because otherwise, we can never be converted. Christ, he said in John 11, Father, I know that thou hearest me always. And now, as long as the world is standing, then Christ is praying for the receiving of his dead people that the Father had given him in eternity. And now those 12 men, they belong to that number also. And then another thing, that people, those 12 disciples, they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit that was glorified in their heart. You can realize, congregation, what a great surprise that was for the apostle. When he could not preach and stay in Jerusalem, but that he had to travel from one place to another, till that he came to that city, Ephesus, that goes much on in the heart of that man. Sometimes you think, when you read his conversion, what a wonderful man blessed by the Lord. Because if you ask every hour of the day when and where that man was converted, then he gave immediately an answer. There was nothing so clear for Paul as that the Lord had converted. But now in his work as a minister, there were so many disappointments. And the greatest disappointments that he had in his life, that were especially of his own people, that Jewish people. Once in Acts 13, then he had preached for that Sergius Paulus, and that had so much impression by the heathen people that after the service they came to ask him that he the next Sabbath day would preach the same sermon. But that Jewish people there at that time, they were so mad and so rebellious, and they showed so much enmity to that preacher of the gospel. This disappointment is enough. But now here that men that find that 12 men real comforted. Sometimes we hear something that we say no. No. That had no ground in the Bible. Sometimes we hear something else, and that we would say there is well hope that there is something of the Lord in the heart. You have maybe well as heard an expression years ago, they used that so many times in the Holland language about some people that was converted but not so much light having in the soul. Then they say the furniture is well there, but it is not on the right place. And then later on, then the Lord, he brought it to pass where they belong, they belongs. But you can hear also something, some words, few words, and that immediately that you say, there is no doubt at all that is now the true work of the Lord, that had people revealed by the expressions that they made. And now Paul, when he met those 12 people, he was really surprised. There was in his heart no doubt at all about that people. The Lord gave that Paul such an impression that all those people were real converted, and that the work of the Lord was in their heart. And you know that St. Paul, he wrote in one of the epistles, in Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The root of the matter was in the heart of that people. But now Paul, he came in contact with that people, and he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? That is really remarkable question. And every word that have his meaning, we have to read it very careful to have the right meaning of the text. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? In the first place, when the Lord regenerates a sinner, then he received three benefits. He received faith, he received hope, and he received love. And that are benefits of Christ, mediatorial work, and that people that receive those benefits, they never can lose that. Speaking with reference to you this evening, then it is really as that the Lord himself lay his hands upon those benefits. The devil can never take it away. With all his power. And he is always busy. You know that in the life of God's people. I told you sometime, we are glad that we have a bed to sleep in. But the devil need no bed. He is always restless and always not busy. If you have something of God's work in your heart, then he gives you never rest. He keeps you in unrest till the moments that the Lord brings you into that true rest and that the Lord gives rest in your soul. But otherwise, he is always busy to take away what the Lord has wrought in your heart. And in the second place, we stay and we remain sinners. You think about even Abraham, who is called in the Bible a friend of God, James 2 verse 17. Was that man in his life without faults? No. No. He was the father of all the faithful. He was a wonderful example in the word of God, in following the Lord. Still, it was a man. Isaac the same. Jacob. What a dark times were there in the life of that man, that you would place that question, shall that man have really grace in his heart? Really? In regard to the things that he did here in his life, also in respect to his father, and later on. And we have to live in congregation. I have to say that this evening to you. We have to live in that from our side that we can do nothing else than sin away the grace that the Lord had given us. This prodigal son in Luke 15, he sinned away that he was a son. But what was now his privilege that the father never could deny and always maintain that he stayed father of the boy? There's now Paul, he said here, clear that in regeneration that God's people there received faith. There is, of course, as you know, a difference between faith, the habit of faith, and the action or the exercise of faith. The habit of faith, that is that faith that the Lord gave in the heart of his dear children, and that is wrought there by the power of the Holy Spirit. In faith itself, there is no doubt, never, on account that it directly comes from the Lord. And all that directly comes from the Lord, that is true, and that is right, and that endures forever and forever. But in regard to the believer, is it different? You read in Luke 9 about that father of that boy that was in so much trouble by the devil, that he said to Christ, I believe, help my unbelief. And in the life of God's children, it is always a life up and down. And sometimes it seems that there is nothing left. Or that it shall come to an end. Maybe there is not one or two of more this evening in my midst that have not thought today, even today, that they thought, where shall it end it with my life? Where shall it end it with my soul? There came so much strife, congregation, and there came so much doubt in our heart and in our soul. And if it come to the point to help ourselves in anything, then we have to say no. That is outside the way. That is impossible. It is the Lord who have to take care for his own work. The Lord had to strengthen that faith. The Lord had to uphold that faith. The Lord have to crown that faith. The Lord had glorified that faith. It has all to come from the Most High God. In him we live, move, and have our being. That is bodily, and that is spiritually for ourselves too. Now the question, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? What was now the purpose of Paul that he asked the question? Paul, he asked here, whether that there have taken place something after that they were converted and after they had believed. To make that now clear for you, we have an example in John 14 where Christ was talking not to Pharisees or scribes, but where he was talking to his disciples. And then he said there, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And there Christ, he declared to his disciples that they well believe in God. They have the evidences of it in their life. And every child of God have it. Cannot be different. But now believe also in me. That is another thing. That is a second grace. That is a second benefit. Did the disciples not believe in Christ? Yes. Oh yes. Even in John 6 verse 69. Then Peter said, we have believed and confessed that thou art the Son of God. And in Matthew 16, verse 16, there the answer of Peter was upon the question, what do you believe of me? Then he said with his whole heart, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But was now really the meaning that Christ said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Where the people though still believed in Christ. And how Christ did as of that people did not believe in Christ. What was there now the matter? That people that believed well in the person of Christ, but not in his mediatorial work. That was hidden and that was concealed for them. And we have well as a sermon here in your midst some years ago already. What a labor that Christ bestowed to his disciples after his resurrection to persuade them to believe in his mediatorial work. To accept him personally as the dying and risen mediator and savior. Wat een werk dat Christ had to persuade the disciples over. And now here we have the same thing. Paul, he said, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Did there happen now something in your life since that the Lord had converted you? In other words, how long is it ago that you were converted? How many years was it that John the Baptist had preached to you? Because at that time that Paul asked that question, John the Baptist was a long time dead already. You see, he was no more dead. We think, and we can prove that with the Bible, that John the Baptist died when he was not more older than 31 years. He died very young. He was a friend of the bridegroom, and he had the church brought to Christ, and then he was taken away in that prison. You know that. In what way? Now, the trouble was, they believed the baptism of John, that people. Were they never under a preaching? I believe. Yes. Because John the Baptist had also his disciples. And those disciples, they go also round about the people to preach the word of God. But those disciples of John, they preach nothing else than Yom. No Christ. And him crucified. And no risen Christ. But only the baptism of repentance. The necessity of conversion. Therefore the people said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. But how is that now possible? I think they have heard even from John the Baptist about the Holy Ghost. And what ground I have for that to say that this evening. And to confirm that, because John the Baptist, he was present when Christ was baptized, he baptized himself. And then he saw there with his eyes that the Holy Spirit in the figure of a dove came upon Christ and that he was sitting upon his head. Thus, John the Baptist, he have told that people about the Holy Spirit. Cannot be different. He had preached the Holy Spirit to them. But the meaning is now this congregation for himself became it never reality that the Holy Spirit came down in their heart. The mediatorial work of Christ in suffering and dying and resurrection and in ascending into up to heaven and sitting at the right hand of God, that was all hidden for the people. Thus they have never heard about anything, yes, but personally they have never exercised that for their own heart. If I come from the pulpit this evening and I would ask children how many persons in the Trinity there are, then they shall say three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If I asked the people that go in on the catechism classes, if I asked about the work of the three persons, then they would say the Father and the creation, the Son and redemption. And the Holy Spirit and the sanctifier. That is what we all can answer on account that we have heard about that and were instructed in it. But now the question that is, have he received the Holy Ghost since he believed? Was now Christ ever revealed to your heart? Was now Christ given unto you as the gift of the Father? And did the Holy Spirit come to dwell in your heart that you know that there is an Holy Ghost? You know, in Article 9 of our Confession, there speaks about the Trinity. And then it speaks about two things there. First, the revealing of the Lord in his word, and special that personal witness in our heart. That means that those things are applied to our soul personally. In regard to the conversion, Brakel, he said in his reasonable service, that it is not clear for every child of God to talk about the hour and the day of their conversion. That is for many a hidden thing. But if it now goes further about the revealing, the revelation of Christ, and that he is applied to our heart, and that the Holy Spirit placed a stamp upon the work of Christ in our heart, that is something else. Then Paul, he said, it had not taken place in a corner. We are present with that. I take an example out of the Bible, but we all know. There was a time in the life of Rebecca that she knew nothing about Isaac. No. But Eliezer came and he told her about that Isaac and his father Abraham. But he gave also some treasures to that Rebecca, and they came from Isaac. That if anybody asked her about Isaac, that she could say with freedom and liberty that Eliezer that had talked about that man. And he was the one that had given treasures, and they came also from that Isaac. But still she don't know Isaac for herself. Still, their heart was entirely went in for Isaac to marry with him. She never have seen that man, but she had heard of that man, and she had received something of him, and that was as a fire in her heart, burning to unite it with that Isaac and to become his wife. That was the reason that that woman, that Rebecca, she had no desire to stay there longer in the country with her family. When they asked her, then immediately she talked about the decision that she made. She said, I shall go. I shall go. And as she went, and then there came a man walking in the field, and she asked who that was. And Eliezer said, "That is now my masterized." And when he came close to her, then she fell off from her camel, and with her veil she covered her head. And Isaac took her and brought her in the house of Sarah, his mother, and he was comforted with that woman after the death of his mother Sarah. And there you have, congregation, you have the whole history now. You have the whole history. So it goes in the life of God's people. First, Christ must be born in our heart. He was born in Bethlehem. Every year we remember that. We celebrate that. But there are souls in the church, even in Kalamazoo too. There are souls, they say every year, "I know that he came in Bethlehem, but oh, that now the day is come that he come in my heart to dwell there and to stay there. And that he embraced me. And that he become my portion for time and for eternity. Personally." And then from point to point, people, it is so necessary that the Holy Spirit leads us to all the ways that Christ had passed in the 3 years that he was here in this world. We can even know for ourselves an humiliating Christ, a dying Christ, and that we still not do know a risen Christ. That is another benefit out of the covenant of grace. And then how ignorant that we are in our life, people. Oh, please, please, please. Think never that we are so wise and that we know so much. Let us never think about it. No. Because on the way to the Mount of Olives, then those disciples, they asked Christ, "Is it now the time that you shall erect the kingdom to Israel?" Then they still were fulfilled, their heart and their mind filled, with an early kingdom. And I read it when you come home this evening, in Matthew 28. Then it said, there is a text that said, "Some believed and others doubted." And others doubted. Congregation, Christ told us in John 3, verse 34, I think, that no one can accept anything unless that it is given him from heaven. There it lays. And all that we take of ourselves, we steal that. And we have to give it back. But what we in a way of right and righteousness receive from the Lord, that we have never to give away. No. When that tamer in Genesis 38, then she received that staff, that ring, and the armband, the bracelets. Then she received that from Judah, and he came to burn her up. Then she showed it to him. And as soon as he showed where it came from, from whom she had received it, then he did no more burn her up, no. But he said, "You are more righteous than I am." And that was the conversion of that man, people. That was the conversion of Judah. And now, to know the places and the times, people, that the Lord had revealed himself unto us, that he had given himself away to our soul, that we rest in him, rely upon him, as the only mediator and savior, and that the Holy Spirit, with our spirit, comes witness that we are a child of God, and that we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby that we call Abba Father. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, ye have not so much heard as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We shall stop this evening with explanation of this text. We will now sing a psalter and a few words for the application. From out thy presence cast me not, thy face no more to see, thy Holy Spirit and his grace take not away from me. Number 143, the last stanza. Finally, congregation, oh, what would it be a surprising for your consistory, a surprising for us as your moderator, that we as meet people as Paul in that city of Ephesus. We are all traveling to the great and ever-ending eternity. All people that have to die, but young people must die. And the last days we received from the Netherlands, from two young people, tiding 137, another mother 39, that the Lord had cut them off out of this world and out of this life. We have known in our life for the years that they have lived here. And then you come to yourself with it, and then you say, yeah, I am now 73 years old and I'm still in the land of living. What a short time had that people lived in the world. 37 and 39. We have known, of course, their families for years and years in the Netherlands. And then when our life is cut off, then it is eternity. And every day it can happen that the angel of death come and that he cut off our life here in this world. And then the question that is, did we ever believe? Yes. You believe historical what there is in the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation. There shall not be not one here in this evening that had any doubt about the revelation of the Lord in his word. But in our head congregation, that is too short. We cannot die with that. In our emotions, as a temporal faith, we can also not die with it. It is only in our emotions. It is only for a while. And then Christ, he said in that chapter in Matthew 13, when persecution come and troubles are coming, then they fall off and they go their own way. A miraculous faith that refers more to the power of the Lord than to the grace of the Lord. But now a saving faith that is wrought in our heart by the power of the Spirit, and that we believe that there is a God who is holy, who is righteous, who have to maintain his justice and his righteousness, but to believe also in a God who is merciful and gracious in his beloved Son Jesus Christ. And that a time came in our life, young and old, oh, that there came a need for him in our heart, that we pour out our heart before him, that we lay by day and by night at his throne, that we were beckoning to receive grace for our heart. And one of our old riders from the group, he said, here it is, the time to seek, and it is the time to find it. When he died, then it is too late, congregation. Then it is too late. But today, when you hear his voice, harden up your heart. There are many things in the congregation here. I mentioned something this evening in my prayer. Not everything. I hope to do that soon. But there is so much that filled the heart and mind of fathers and mothers and families. Because the best of our days is labor and sorrow. And now, the trouble that is many times, people, that our heart is so filled with the things of time and sense, but not what is necessary for eternity. And it is too bad that I say that, but if you know yourself, then you shall well say yes, men, that is all the truth for 100%. Many times in the evening, then we rather go to sleep than to pray and to say. That is our nature. Do we need no rest? Yes, we need rest, people, that is right. But all one thing is necessary, and that is that the Lord become our portion for time and for eternity. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since he believed? Was then our time in our life, people, that it became reality? I believe in God, the Father, the Creator of heaven and of earth. To believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, who was sent here in the fullness of time, and who came for a purpose, to satisfy the justice of God, but also to seek and to save those that are lost. And was there now ever a time, people, that did it realize that we were farther from the Lord as the east from the west and the north from the south? Did we ever believe the reality that we were without God in the world, but that there is nothing so necessary as that we reconciled with God and restored in communion with God? A blessing. Oh, a blessing if the Lord had made us a beggar at the throne of grace. But there is more. This is life eternal, that they believe in God, in the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent in this world, that there came in our heart and soul a revelation of that Christ, and that it became also reality what Christ said to his disciples: it is expedient for you that I leave, because otherwise the Holy Ghost cannot come. Christ has to go up in heaven. And the disciples, they must be weaned to the bodily presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to be weaned to that. And then they came together in that room in Jerusalem with prayer and supplication for 10 days, till that in this morning the Holy Spirit came down in their heart. That is now in short words, people, the way that the Lord helped with his people. And I want one thing. Can we now say with our heart this evening, I am not a stranger of that, even that we have not found it for our soul, but that we are seeking it, and continually that is bind, that it binds us at the throne of grace, and that there is sometimes is such a personal need in our heart, oh, that our rent is to heaven, and that thou come down, that I cannot rest before that those three persons are known to us, and that we have received them as a gift from the Father, and that he become ours for time and for eternity. And now that people that in truth and uprightness is seeking the Lord, they shall find him. One day the Lord, he shall come leaping over the mountains and over the hills, and they shall hear his voice: here I am, I am thy salvation. And then that seal of the Holy Spirit upon it, that give us rest and peace for time and for eternity. I hope the Lord sanctify the words to all of your hearts. Amen. Lord, that thy word be sanctified to our soul, and that it bless to our heart. Be with the congregation in the manifold needs and wants which there are. Also one mother who is not in the home at the present time, O Lord, graciously bring her back to the dear husband and children. Encourage her and bless her with blessings from above. We commend the congregation, the vacant condition at the throne of grace, and that they are bound at thy throne with all those needs and with all those wants. Bring us safely to our destination. And Lord, strengthen us, if it can please thee, further also for the next week, to be that meeting for that examination of that student who was born here in this place and city. Lord, that it all be done to the honor of thy great name and majesty, and that it may please thee to the gladness of his heart and our heart too, that the Lord himself will give him clear testimony of make us beggars at the throne of grace for the welfare of Zion, and that we are gladdened together by the Almighty Edith. Forgive our sins and hear us for thy great name's sake. Amen. We sing now together number 33, the last stanza, 85, the third stanza. Jehovah speaks, the heavens appear, he breathes, and lo, his shining sphere. In spindle stands arrayed, he rolls the waters heap on heap, he stores away the mighty deep, in garners for it made. Number 85, the last stanza. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.